grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text tonight, of course, is Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like to repeat it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that what he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder are God. And so it is tonight that we consider the faith of Abraham. He was a man called by God. He was called to inherit this great and expansive land to a place that his generations would later receive as an inheritance. But he ended up living as a foreigner all of his life in that land. In fact, when Sarah died, what do we find out? That he even had to purchase the burial plot for his wife to be buried on. No. By the time Abraham died, not one square inch of land was given to him. And yet he was looking forward to a city which has lasting foundations and whose builder and designer is God. Unlike the events of Abel and of Noah, we don't have to go ahead and separate a lot of the distracting details out. No, Abraham is known entirely for his faith in God's word. In fact, as you heard in Paul's letter to the Romans, he calls Abraham the father of all who would believe. Perhaps the most distinguishing thing about Abraham's faith is that he didn't receive anything that was promised. Noah, you know, like Noah, look at God warned him about the flood, and his deliverance happens in his lifetime. Yeah, the children of Israel received the rescue that was promised to them by God. They received the promised land just as he said. But Abraham, he has to look at those promises and see them from afar and believe that he would be the man. And so he walked by faith, not by sight. What was he promised? But three things, right? The land, and then children, as many as the sands of the seashore and the stars in the sky. And then third, that through him, the Savior would come, born from his generations. He never got to see him, did he? No, he never got to see these things in his lifetime. This brings us back to the opening words of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. This contrast between the visible and the invisible goes all the way through Hebrews chapter 11. You could say that faith uses ears and not eyes. It hears and believes, but it does not see and believe. In fact, faith will even believe things that it can't see and that go against the very reality that's in front of you. If you had what faith could see, it wouldn't be faith, would it? You have it. It's right before your eyes. This is why the scriptures say faith comes by hearing. Faith is always listening to God's promise, and sometimes that promise comes to your ears and doesn't agree with what you see. I'd like this evening to go ahead and think of these three illustrations about faith. First, Christmas. You know, on Christmas Eve, the angel Gabriel goes ahead and talks to the shepherds, right? Proclaims to the shepherds. He tells them that Christ the Lord is born in Bethlehem, right? And they hear that the Son of God, the Savior of the world, has come. He's come to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. And what do they say? They say one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And what do they see? Well, they see a baby, right? Not like those angelic pictures that you see, you know, where the baby is, Mary's holding the baby and the halo's over and the baby looks so nice and perfect and Mary's in a blue garment with a halo on her head. No, she just gave birth. Believe me, it did not look like this. But it's what the shepherds heard with their ears, right? Yes. This baby is none other than Christ the Lord. He is God in human flesh, sent to save us from our sins. And then the shepherds, knowing all this, what are they going to go do? They go ahead and proclaim it to all the world, all those that were around them concerning this child. And Mary, she ponders these things and treasures them in her heart. Illustration number two. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. John chapter 11. And as we saw yesterday and previous weeks before, we see those even in strong in faith still die. We see their bodies lowered into the grave and we speak to them and they don't talk to us and don't answer. We grieve. However, faith hears the promises of Jesus and still rejoices. Faith trusts in the promises of Christ and understands that even though believers walk into death and are buried in the grave, they are in God's hands and He will lead them right to eternal life with glorified bodies. Illustration number three. I want you to think about the words of institution, that is the sacrament of the altar. We hear Jesus say, this is my body, this is my blood, right? But what do you see? Now I could go ahead and say ordinary bread and wine, but most of us don't have that kind of bread on the table, do we? A wafer, the host. That's what we see. We even taste and see the very same things, but we hear the words of Jesus, and what do we say? Amen. Faith believes that what we receive is the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Faith does not walk by sight. It does not use ears, it does not use eyes, but it uses ears. Faith hears and rests on the promises of God, and sometimes it even disagrees with what it sees, because God's word is the greater reality, greater than fears, greater than doubt, greater than trouble, greater than even death itself. Abraham walked by faith. Faith does not walk by sight. So it is that Abraham was told by God to go to a land that God would show him. No, he did not have that fancy thing that is in the car. No GPS. No Google Maps. Not even an address. He would just wander out and God would show him that place and it would be his. And his children would fill the land. And from his children's children would come there the Savior who would be and cause all the families of the nations to be blessed. And Abraham, what happens to him? He wanders around like an illegal immigrant. He would spend most of his life without a child. And then in his old age, he and his wife would be given one. That's the fulfillment of a promise. One child, hardly the beginning of a great nation. And then God one day says, I want you. He says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and there offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I will tell you. Abraham ends up spending his whole life walking by faith and not by sight. Romans 4 makes quite the same point. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. And as he has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Faith only needs to hear the promises of God. And when the promises of God are fulfilled, then faith ends and reality begins. But until such time, we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust that God's promises are true, that God is true to his promises, and that God gives good things, including forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, and the resurrection of the dead. Now, there is this one thing about faith hears and believes the promises of God and is counted as righteousness. God is pleased when we walk by faith and not by sight. And he gives such commendation to such faith. Now, what is up with this word commendation? It looks like the word occurs 5 times in this chapter. Listen to this chain in the verses of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And then this closing sentence of Hebrews 11. All these were commended, it says, through faith. They did not receive what was promised, since God was providing something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Commended. Now, there's another word. Martyreo. It's where we get our English word martyr. It's a courtroom word. It means witness, a public witness, a witness in a courtroom. There's the testimony. Here is the testimony of the good word that is put before you. It is God who steps up to the witness stand and bears witness that your faith is commendable. Your faith is counted righteous before him. Your faith, and thus the translation commendation, is a recognition that you possess it. It belongs to you. Commendation, you might say, is God going ahead and smiling at your faith. God giving his nod to you, the tip of a hat, the pat on the back, an official, judicial recognition of such faith. 11:16 says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. For you know that without faith it is impossible to please God. Therefore we go on extolling the virtues of faith, faith that listens but does not see. Faith that hears the promises of God and yet waits for the fulfillment. Such faith that is counted as righteousness. Faith that God gives his commendation. God is pleased when we trust in His Word. God is pleased when we recognize His goodness that He gives to us. And we recognize His faithfulness to all the promises. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Amen. Now, the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.